Last week we talked about how the mission of the church is to make disciples, and that a disciple is a follower of Jesus. So being a disciple can look very different from person to person. In the church we talk about vocations as a calling that God gives to us. We might say our vocation is the mode of our discipleship. Our vocation will affect how we live our discipleship on a day-to-day basis. For instance, today St. Paul indicates that the vocation of marriage is a path to holiness, but that it has the added challenge of necessarily focusing on caring for and pleasing your spouse, not to mention your children. There are many beautiful things about marriage, but there are also some unique challenges that go with that vocation. And this reality is, you know, the same for any vocation. There's the things that are a gift and the things that are a challenge. Those who live a celibate vocation will have greater availability to pursue their relationship with God, to serve the church. Priesthood, religious life, consecrated life are all ways of dedicating oneself to Christ and serving the church. But each of them will require an integration of the sexual desire, a different way of fulfilling this need we have for companionship. And so, again, we see that there's gifts and challenges. Remaining single is not technically a vocation per se. If a person is intentionally living their life following God's will and seeking to grow in holiness, it certainly falls into the broader vocation that we all are called to, which is the universal call to holiness. And this is different than remaining single for the sake of leisure or freedom from responsibility. Some today are afraid to make a commitment to another person or to a community or to God. What if I choose wrong, we ask. This is not surprising. In an age when so many people have been affected by divorce, domestic abuse, or even just witnessing unhappy marriages or unhappy priests, for instance, one begins to ask, is it worth the risk to live a vocation? Is it worth taking out, step out in faith and going that way? You know, we can ask that question. Given the abundance of the difficulties and painful family experiences, it's not surprising that many people are fearful of getting entangled in a legal or avowed commitment. When we look around us, we see many examples of people who have suffered greatly because they've tried to live a vocation. We all know people who are divorced. We probably know at least, or know of, at least a priest who has left the priesthood. And so it's a scary thing to step out in that faith. It may seem safer just to avoid making any commitment. The Lord speaks through Moses today in the first reading. He tells us, if a prophet presumes to speak in my name, an oracle that I have not commanded him to speak, or speaks in the name of other gods, he shall die. This is an interesting statement. We might ask ourselves, why did God make this such a punishable offense? Well, because it leads people astray by telling them ideas and teachings that are not true. And this is very harmful to a society if leaders, especially those who have authority, abuse their authority and lead people astray. This is a very wicked thing to do. There are all kinds of ideas being told and believed which are at odds with God's plan for us. These are going to cause a lot of pain if we look down the road, a lot of suffering. When we try to live in defiance of our nature, when we try to alter our nature and live in a way that God has not made us to live, it ends up being a very painful experience. If we look around in our culture, it says things like cohabitation are fine, promiscuity is fine, gender ideology is a thing these days, or the confusion regarding what is the purpose of marriage. We can see why people are confused and why they're hurting, why they're suffering. And this is why we see so many people suffering emotionally from confusion about their sexuality. They have suicidal thoughts, they have depression, they have anxiety, they have self-hatred, they have loneliness. They're trying to believe what the culture is telling them is okay and normal, and they're taking that at face value and saying, why isn't this working for me? And it's bringing them no peace. So they find themselves experiencing this discontent and this restlessness. In a culture that tells us to be happy while living in this dysfunctional way, we are being set up for failure. We will never be happy and content unless we are living in accord with how God has made us. And that goes for any vocation or anybody, even if they don't believe in the concept of a vocation. When we reject God's given identity to us, it makes it difficult for us to accept our vocation, and therefore it will also make it hard for us to live as a disciple. And thus it will also be difficult, if not impossible, to participate in the mission of the church in a meaningful way. So we frustrate the whole project of our lives when we don't cooperate with God's plan for us. And we see this a lot today. Many people struggling to try to find their way. They don't quite know how to live. How am I meant to find happiness? They're searching for it, and you got to give them credit, they're looking for it, but they're looking in the wrong places often and not hearing the voice of the church. So we have to keep speaking the truth of God into their lives and trying to invite them to the truth. In the monastic life, those who are professed members, so this would be like a monastery where they go off and they're cloistered, they also take a vow of stability. This means practically that they are going to stay in this one place the rest of their life. As a monk or a nun, they're going to stay in this place. And they are setting out on this great interior journey of facing themselves and seeking God in the inner soul. There's no hiding. There's no way to hide from our own sinfulness, our own weakness in this life. The monastic life is really an interior battle to the death. You're either going to be a saint or you're going to go down in flames. And it can be a little scary, and that's probably why it's a kind of a dramatic vocation that not many people are called to. Now perhaps we could use a reminder that we too are called to this holiness. The spiritual life is very important for us to pursue. And that means we have to look at what's at our disposal. We have the same things, the same gifts, the same opportunities that those in the monastic life have, same opportunities for prayer and so forth. But we also have all these other things around us in our everyday lives, the distractions that we face. And so it can be easy for us to always turn to distractions rather than really entering into this spiritual journey, the spiritual life that we're called to go onto, to be in union with God is what we're all called to be. Every person, every single one of us, if we're going to see God face to face, we need to progress in the spiritual life. It's not enough simply to be a good person. It's not enough just to avoid evil or doing evil. These are very important and helpful, right? If we're going to try to live a life close to God, it's helpful to do those things because it avoids obstacles that would otherwise be in our way. But we must also take active steps coming to know God. This is why the life of prayer, all the spiritual practices that we engage in are critical for us. Now, taking part in the mission of the church requires that we are actively seeking and pursuing a deeper relationship with God ourselves. I can sign up for a marathon. I can do all the training. I can wear the right clothes and the right shoes. I can go to the starting line. But if I never actually start taking steps on the race course, I will never progress. In the same way, we must take steps in this life to pursue and come to know Jesus in our lives. Otherwise, it's never going to happen. We're never going to progress. We'll be just as far from Jesus when we die as we are right now if we never take any steps towards Him. And if we aren't pursuing Jesus in a real way, how are we ever going to help be effective in bringing others to know Jesus and become disciples? Finally, just a last note. Perhaps you find yourself in a vocational situation that you feel isn't really listed in the normal or standard list. Maybe you're widowed. Maybe you are divorced. Maybe you have never been married because you've had some kind of trauma from your past, or because you were led astray by the culture at some point into a lifestyle that led you away from Christ, and you are only now coming back to the faith. Whatever your situation is, the Lord is seeking you out. Wherever you find yourself, know that God is calling you to holiness. He is inviting you, as you are, to pursue a deeper relationship with Him. The Lord is waiting for you to take a step in faith and to entrust yourself to Him. It may be that your vocational journey is going to look very different than others. That's fine. But in the end, if you stay true to seeking Christ in your life, if you follow Him wherever He leads you, it will become clear how you are to live, how you are to enter into this relationship with Christ. And in eternal life, your soul and your body will be just as glorified as any other.